Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome once again to the PRF Table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Also hosting with me is Mary Ann Williams, also known as Mama Around the Table. Mama, good evening to you.
Good evening, Dr. Dunlap. How are you doing this evening?
doing well. It's been a long, busy day, Mama, but
yes.
Praise God, it's been a very productive day.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
So listen, tonight we are continuing on in our series for November 2017. Today is November the 9th. And listen to how tired I am. And we are continuing on with holiday spending priorities. Holiday spending priorities is where we're going to be for the whole month. So as anybody who's been around the table almost the last 5 years with us knows, that as we gear up to the holidays, there are some things that God really is desiring that his people get information on, get some knowledge, find out what's going on, what should I be doing, what I should not be doing. And Mama, as you get settled over there, we're getting into the second episode, And so what we're going to do tonight is just talk a little bit about where we were last week, because last week there was a lot of questions that were posed. And I just wanted to go over a couple of those because somebody wise once told me, if anything is worth preaching more than once. That is not a common phenomenon in the religious circles, because everybody wants a fresh word. But, you know, God gave his people some of the same words continuously as he was guiding them and leading them from Egypt on into the promised land, the place that he promised for them, the place where he had stuff set up for them. And so there has to be some logic to it. There has to be a higher spiritual meaning when God repeats himself more than once. It's maybe because there's some things that seem like they have to be emphasized because they're more important. Not more important than the others, but more important at that particular time in that particular group or that particular group of people's lives because of what's going on. Because, see, here's what happens, Mama.
Yes.
It's easy. It's easy. It is easy to get into this place, if you will. And I say get into a place. Get into a place of just focusing on whatever's going on right now and forgetting what has been taught to you prior. See, if we have been coming to you as the listeners on the PRF table for the last 4 years, so 2013, 14, 15, 16, and now 17, 5 years now, and we're hitting on the same thing during the same time of the year, then you have to know that there's a reason why it keeps coming up, because the world continues to do the same thing that the world does. It tries to get people's money. It tries to get people to spend money during the holidays. It has nothing to do with Christ. It has nothing to do with family. It has everything to do with individuals in the world of consumerism getting money and being very good at getting and pulling money from individuals. I'm not mad at them because I understand and I recognize it. So therefore, I don't, Mama, I don't play that game. I don't go into debt on the holidays. I don't overspend. And there's benefits to doing that. And since there's benefits to doing it, then what we're putting out there, as we do over and over and over again to people, is we want you to be able to get into a better place. And sometimes the only way that you can get into a better place is by having something repeated to you over and over until you get it. It's not rocket science, right? It's just not rocket science. And so a couple of things that I wanted to to just throw out there, just for those who have not listened to the show on last week, and if anybody's listening for the first time, you can always go on to blogtalkradio.com/PRF table. And, of course, PRF stands for Possessions, Resources, and Finances. So you can go on blogtalkradio.com/PRF table. You can listen to any of our shows and all of our shows all the way back to 2012. So listen. One of the questions that I'm throwing out there for people to evaluate themselves, evaluate this yourself. What is the reason why you feel the need to spend like you're going to spend for the holidays? I want you who are listening to just listen to that again. What is the reason why you feel the need to spend like you're going to spend for the holidays? Another question I want you to think about, if you're writing it down, how well did you prepare before the holiday? See, everybody knows, Mama. Everybody knows when Thanksgiving is coming around. They know when Black Friday is coming around. They know when Christmas is coming around. Whether you celebrate it or not, you're going to still be involved in that somehow. But how well did you prepare for the holidays? And I remember back in the day, Mama, one of the most common phenomenons that was instituted from the world of consumerism was layaways. I remember layaways as a child. I mean, I have some stories as an adult with them too, but I remember that this thing was not about everybody just taking money that they didn't have during the holidays. People put stuff on layaway so that they can have it out by Christmas.
Yes.
Not go to the store and get it so it can be sitting up under the tree for a whole month before Christmas.
Yes.
Like, no, I'm not going. The mindset was, I'm not going to go into all of this debt just from buying this stuff.
Yes.
I can go and get it. We're going to still get it, but we're not going to put ourselves into a situation. We're not going to. This is what I gathered. We're not going to put our families in the situations where we can't pay our rent, we can't pay our bills, things that come up such as an emergency, and we don't have it because we're going to spend all this money right now.
Yeah.
And we don't have anything for later on. And so layaways used to be months in advance of the holidays. Layaways wasn't something that just, you know, that most people didn't just put things on layaway for Black Friday. It was right after you started the school year in September. That's when stuff started being put on layaway. That's what I remember as a child. And those are some of the stories, some of my context. So we want, listen, well, again, I'll get to a scripture, Mama, but I believe that people really just need to hear, listen, y'all got to do something different. You have to do something different in order to get some different results. Bottom line, it is what it is. So those are two questions that I just wanted to just bring up from last week. How well did you prepare before the holiday? And then again, the other one, what is the reason why you feel the need to spend like you're going to spend for the holidays? You know, we talked about it, you know, maybe it's tradition, maybe it's because this is how the family structure was. Maybe it's because I never had anything as a kid, so I got to make sure my kids have everything now. Whatever it is, you got to evaluate. I remember doing a Facebook Live a couple of days ago or last week, and it was on refuse to give out of ignorance. And one of the things that I said in this Facebook Live video was, you need to evaluate your giving. And I said, if anybody doesn't want you, I don't care what church you go to, if anybody tells you or entices you or tries to suggest to you that you should not evaluate your giving, the moment that somebody tells you that you're not to evaluate your giving, then that means they're trying to manipulate and control your giving. I want everybody to be smarter than that. I want everybody to be wiser than that. So when it comes to your spending, which is a component of giving, then you have to do the same thing. Evaluate your spending. Evaluate why you're going to spend this. Evaluate where the money is going to come from to spend this. Evaluate who you're getting it for. You got folks that buy stuff for folks that could care less about them, nor could they care where that money ever even comes from. So, Mama, listen, I won't say struggled, if that's too strong of a word, but there was a couple of different scriptures that I thought may be relevant for tonight. I mean, we teach these in our planning and savings or next door neighbors course, but I bring back to us, and I don't have a problem bringing it back time after time again, but that's the scripture in Proverbs chapter 6, where wisdom says, go to the ant, you sluggard, or you lazy bones, as the New Living talks. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer and gather food for the winter. And so as we talk about that particular scripture, Mama.
Yes.
The first thing that is important to me is not about the writer speaking to the audience, calling them lazy, calling them a sluggard. The part that grasps me is that the writer is saying, consider its ways and be wise.
Yes.
Take a lesson from them and be wise. So here's what I want y'all to think about tonight. Who are you getting your lessons from when it comes to spending and saving? Where's the lesson that you're getting? That's a good question for somebody to post on our Facebook page. Where is the lesson that you're coming from? Because, see, understand the ant. The ant is doing what other ants have done.
Yes.
Ants are not doing a new thing. Real, real simple. If it was summertime right now, if it was summer, and we were in Fairmount Park back in Philly, and next to a picnic table, we just are out there eating oranges or pomegranate, stuff that has that real sweet flavor juice, or mangoes, and we just have the juice all over the table. And then we leave pieces of pomegranate and pieces of fruit and pieces of potato chips. And all. You have to know that ants are not doing anything different except coming to get that. And they're coming as a group. Now here's what you got to understand. Ants come in different sizes because they grow just like people do, right?
Yeah.
Every ant doesn't start off at the same size. So ants grow as creatures. So you have to know that the baby ant is going to observe what the larger ant does. So the ants are taking... An ant is taking a lesson from the ants. Well, let's flip this thing right now because I ain't got a lot of time. I'm tired. How is it for us as disciples? Who do you have in your church that you can take a lesson from and learn from their ways and become wise? Please, y'all, don't say your pastor, because your pastor ain't letting you know a lot about what's going on in their personal life. Trust me, I know. So who are you? Now, see, this. Now you got to understand, the ant is taking a lesson from the ant. The ant is not taking a lesson from the prince or the ruler or the governor. It's taking a lesson from each other. It says, learn from their ways. So, again, let's think about us. Who do you have that you can learn from? other than us at the PRF table. But who do you have around you that's closer to you than we on the PRF table that you're with every week, every Sunday, every Wednesday, out in the streets? Who are you learning from to help you become wise when it comes to planning and saving, spending? Who are you learning from? The second part is, and I'm moving on. This text tells us that there's nobody making them. Nobody's forcing them. Nobody is saying, there's some food out there on that picnic table. I need you to go get it. There's something inside of the ant, Mama.
Yes.
That has them doing what is required and what is needed for them. So I flip this thing, because, again, I ain't got a lot of time tonight. I flip this thing and say, well, what about us? Do we have to have the same show every year? And a lot of y'all listen every year. So do we have to have the same show for the same people every year? It seems like we have to. Why does it seem like we have to? Because some of the same crap is going on. May not be in the same church, but it's still within the church.
Yes.
So we have to keep talking about it. And what does it say? It says that they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge, right?
Yes.
The ants, they labor hard all summer so that they have food for later on. There's a reason why they're laboring right now. It's purposeful.
Yes.
They're not storing up stuff just to be greedy. They're storing up stuff now because there's coming a time that they're not going to be able to go out there. See, right now at home, Mama, nobody's out there in Fairmount Park, sitting on a park bench, eating mangoes, pomegranates, watermelon, stuff that got drippings all over the place from the juice. Because it's 20 degrees.
Yeah.
It's a different season. And because it's a different season, people don't do the same things in every season. So as we come up upon the season of this holiday, I throw to our brothers and sisters that's listening, saying, okay, well, hold on. What are you doing? What are you doing right now to prepare yourself for later on? What are you doing? In the book of Genesis, Genesis 41, when it talks about the Joseph who was called upon to interpret Pharaoh's dreams, right? And it talks about the 7 years of abundance and the 7 years of famine. You know, Pharaoh had these dreams about the fat and skinny cows and the plump wheat, plump grains, in the thin stalks of grains. And Joseph comes in after Pharaoh tried all that he could do to get an understanding. Hold on, pause, let me put a pin in there. Sometimes folks just try to get an understanding from the wrong folks. See, folk are getting the wrong understanding about how they should be dealing with their money during the holiday from the wrong folks.
Yes.
The ones who are putting these advertisements out are the wrong folks, because they're not trying to help you or you or you or anybody else to save. They're not concerned if January, when January comes around, are you going to be one of the first ones in line getting ready to file for bankruptcy? They're not there. So there has to be some people that God is already using to say, look, I need y'all to hold off on some of this stuff. I need you to evaluate what's going on. Because,
yeah.
again, when Joseph interpreted the dream for Pharaoh, he talked about two things: famine and prosperity. And what happened was the abundance came first, and then the famine was going to be afterwards.
Yes.
Can I make a parallel for you?
Yes.
During the holiday seasons, it's abundance. It's an abundance of giving. But right after the holidays comes famine that ravages so many households. Because what people had that they really did not have,
yes,
now the crap is hitting the fan.
Yes.
And so God has given us some examples in his word for us to be able to look at and say, hold on. Maybe we should be evaluating how I'm going to deal with this. Because Pharaoh, what did Pharaoh do? Pharaoh said, okay, you know what? Let me listen to Joseph. And he appointed him over the land of Egypt, right?
Yes.
He appointed him over that, and he gave him authority over the land. He gave him authority, and he took that authority, and he said, you know what? What we need to do is we're going to take up a fifth of the land. Everything over these 7 years where things are good, we're going to take a fifth. See, folk want to talk about tithing. Oh, my goodness. See, folk want to talk about tithing. Folk missing it. See, this whole thing of how God operates, there's some very concrete biblical text where you see, before it even got to a tithe, how God used percentages. But one-fifth is a percentage of. And so if you think about this, one-fifth for 7 years, while things were going good, that was what they were going to use to help them in the years to come. So here's another question for you. What have you saved consistently that allows you to go out and spend during your holidays?
Wow.
That's good right there, Mama.
Yes.
That's a good one right there. What have you saved consistently from last holiday to this holiday, or even from January? What have you saved consistently that makes your holiday spending a whole lot easier? If it worked here in the Bible, because you keep on reading on for the next couple chapters, and you read that the famine did come.
Yes.
But if you just do something consistently, then you don't have to be ones feeling like we're talking about you here on a PRF table, making you feel like you, he's talking about me, he's trying to tell me how.
Stepping on my toes.
What we're saying, stepping on your toes. What I'm saying, my brothers and sisters, is real simple. If you haven't made the proper preparations, then I really think, back up. I really believe so strong in my heart that you are going to be going down a road that may not be as favorable as you can see it right now, or unfavorable. You may not be able to see it right now. We can afford that. Because let's back it up. Let's talk numbers. I want people to just get out a piece of paper. If you're on a highway driving, listen to this, don't do it. Don't do that. Just put it in your head. Write it down later, please. But I want you to write down right now how much money you're going to spend on the holidays, like on gifts, like on dinners, See, folk don't think about the dinners.
The
you
food,
trying to feed 100
yeah.
folk. You
yeah,
want 100 folk
food.
To come to your house? Okay. I hear you. I want everybody to just think about it and write it down. Write down how much money you're going to – let's just start here. I'm going to make it easy. For Thanksgiving, that whole
yeah.
Thanksgiving weekend, even if you're including buying stuff for Black Friday, or even if it's before Black Friday and you know, they got stuff where you can start buying stuff now. But up and through the – from now up and through until the holiday Thanksgiving time, I want you to write down the number of what you're planning on spending. Okay? Now, that may require you, because we're talking about holiday spending priorities, that may require you to actually do more than just writing down a number off the top of your head. What that may require you doing is doing some budgeting practices or using some budgeting principles, right? To be able to say, okay, hold on now. We know for Thanksgiving, you know, I always do this. You know, I always buy the turkey, I always do that. See, that's not normal stuff. That's not normal stuff that you're budgeting for, like
yeah.
every week when you budget during the rest of the year, Mama. And you brought up a good
yes,
point about budgeting
right.
earlier, so bless the Lord for that. So these are some new things, right? You don't go
yeah.
somewhere every – you don't go to visit Mama or Daddy or Grandpa or go fly down south if you're up north. You don't do that every week. But you know if you do that for the holiday season. So, again, I want you to write that number down. And when you write that number down, I want you to go one step further because, listen, we got to take the spiritual and apply the practical. I want you to go one step further. And I want you to say, so let's say, for example, I'm going to make it easy for some folks. Let's say you
yeah.
know that you're going to buy $200 worth of gifts or $400 worth of gifts. You're going to spend $100 on a holiday meal, right? Everybody's coming to your house.
Yeah.
So you know you're going to spend $500 and make it a small thing, right?
Yes.
The next question that I want you to ask yourself is, where is that $500 today? You're planning on spending it. So where is that $500 today? Now,
oh,
if you don't
that
have that $500, then that's not a bad thing, right? Because, you know, you're working. You know, you may
mm-hmm.
got some other stuff coming, right? Get a Thanksgiving bonus or something. I don't know. Okay, so if you don't have it today, then let's peel back the onion again. I want you to write down the source of where that $500 above and beyond everything else that you got going on, right? Because this is not normal. Thanksgiving comes once a year. That's not, you know, every week. I want
right.
you to write down where is the source of where your $500 is going to come from. Between now, and see, we're not going to say between now and Thanksgiving because on Thanksgiving you already brought your food, right? Nobody going
yeah.
shopping on Thanksgiving. So between now and when you start purchasing whatever you need to purchase, between now and the end of the Thanksgiving holiday, I'm going to suggest something that's going to sound real crazy to some folk. If you don't have the money right now, right? Let me back up. Thank you, God. When I say right now, we're not talking about in your 401k. Yeah, you got to say that out loud, Mom. We got to say these things
yes.
out loud. We're
yes.
not talking about your 401k because your 401k is for your future. Okay, then somebody want to be smart. Okay, but Thanksgiving is the future, right? I ain't talking about the future. I'm talking about your future after you finish working for all these years, right? We're talking about that type of future. So, talking about like savings account, is it in your
yeah.
checking account? Is it in your savings account, right? Because you know people say some people who are wise they save for things like this. So, where's that money? Where's that money coming from? If it's not in the checking account, if it's not in the savings account, if you don't have it up under the mattress, you know you don't have it where it's easily accessible, where you don't have to take a 10% penalty because you're pulling it out of your 401k or your TSP or an IRA or whatever the case may be. Okay, you don't have it. Okay, so next thing is, okay, where is it going to come from? So now let's peel back the onion. If you have identified a source, you say, hey, you know what? I know I'm getting an extra $500 in my check the week before Thanksgiving. You have identified the source.
Right.
Right? So you said, no, I'm getting
yeah.
a $500 check, right? I got a royalty check coming from the book, How to Lay Me Down to Rest, you know, whatever the case may be. That's coming, so I know that that's coming on that day, not because you're hoping, because you see an invoice or something. Y'all with me, right?
Yes.
You know the source. So now the question is, because we don't, brothers, what did Paul tell them in 1 Corinthians 12? My brothers, I should not have you ignorant. I should not have you ignorant to believe that just because you have it coming in, that it is free for you to spend. So watch this. Okay, so you know where the source is. You know it's a $500 check coming in. So here's the question I want you to write down. How up to date are your current bills? How up to date are your current bills?
Wow.
Oh, okay. Mom, you said,
wow.
Sounds like we're getting. Sounds like I'm getting all in y'all business. Yeah, because I love
yeah.
you. How current are your current bills? Now, so now where are we going from there? If you have bills that are past due, and you know that they will be past due after the Thanksgiving holiday, then I'm going to suggest to you, if you decide to go and spend it on those, you know, the two turkeys and the duck, if you decide that you're going to buy those gifts for you because it's Black Friday, you got to do it. Then I'm going to tell you, listen, some folks ain't going to want to hear this. God will not be pleased with you. Why did you say that, Dr. Dunlap? Because, and this is something that I teach in the Credit and Debt of First Cousins course. One of the I'm not going to give you all of it, but there's something that we deal with in regards to relationship. And so if you're going to mess over your brother or your sister who has given you their trust by giving you something, lending you something, and you have a requirement to pay it back by a certain time, but it's already past due, and you're going to allow it to continue to be further past due because you want to spend on stuff, then God will not be pleased with you, because now you're harming your brother or your sister. Not only are you harming your brother or your sister, you could be allowing yourself to be put into a more negative financial situation, because don't cry later if you decided to go ahead and spend during a Thanksgiving holiday. Let that bill, which is past due right now, continue to be past due, and then they decide to go ahead and report it to Equifax. Then they decide, you know what, we're going to go ahead and cut the electricity off. Yeah, because you may have been late, you know, the last 2 months. Or because they say you now need a deposit because we have some new rules. If you've been late more than twice, then we now require a deposit of you. And now it's just automatically attached to your electric bill or your water bill. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
This stuff right here, Mama, this is serious.
Yes.
This is not stuff that we just play with.
Yes.
Not stuff that we just play with. So let's go back to Pharaoh. Let's go back to Joseph. They put some aside. He pulled some aside during the times that things were good so that they had them when the times were not. Now here's what you got to know. Everybody did not get the revelation about the 7 years of famine and the 7 years of plenty. If you read the text, God spoke it to one person, Joseph.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Here it is. The leader of Egypt was Pharaoh. God did not speak and give the revelation to the leader. He gave the revelation to someone who did not even have an appointed position.
Amen.
It wasn't until the one who God gave the revelation shared the revelation with the leader, and the leader had at heart and had enough wisdom within his own right to say, you know what, I need you on the team.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put you in charge of this because I can see, listen, the leader didn't see it. The leader just accepted it. The one who saw it was Joseph. So the leader, Pharaoh, had to have enough confidence within his own self of who he already was.
Yeah.
He was one that did not feel like his position as the leader was threatened, which allowed him, in my opinion, to hear from one who he did not even have a position until the leader gave it to him. But I dare to say that Joseph was already a leader before Pharaoh gave him his position.
Yes.
He was a leader because God had already started using him because he was the one who spoke to the leader, the king of Egypt.
Yes.
And so now what happened? All the other leaders followed Joseph's commands. When Joseph said, look, we need to put some of this stuff, we need to get it from all throughout the country, and everybody need to come in and bring a little bit and put it over here. We saw a storehouse mentality happen before God even mentioned a storehouse when it came to tithes.
Yes.
And the purpose was that the whole country would not be ruined by famine. That it would not be destroyed. That this famine would not destroy the land. That this land would not be perished.
Yes.
That's huge to me.
Yes.
It's huge to me in light of what we're talking about, holiday spending priorities. Because the truth of the matter is, during the time of plenty, which came before the famine, the people had a choice of obeying leadership or not obeying leadership. Right?
Yes.
So when Joseph said, everybody, we getting 5%, we getting a fifth of everybody's stuff to put in to store it up into the Pharaoh's storehouses. Hold on, what do you mean putting it in Pharaoh's store?
Yes.
Uh-huh. There was a purpose. And you got to know that Pharaoh didn't store it up in his storehouses so that only he could eat. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Oh, my goodness.
Pharaoh had it stored up in Pharaoh's storehouses so that everybody could eat. I mean, you can go read the text. You know, I'm not telling you to come behind me because what I'm saying, I know. I'm speaking with authority I know. Y'all know me. I talk about what I do know, not what I don't.
Okay. That's good.
So, again, that's Genesis. So, again, go to Proverbs. Go back to Proverbs. Proverbs 6, right? 6 through 8. They work hard during the summer and gather food. The principle is the same. Do the work right now, store up right now, so that when the winter time comes, nobody's tripping because you have it there.
Amen.
And it is the same way with your holiday spending. You who are listening and you who are going to talk to other folks who may not be listening, again, the discipleship model is what we operate under. When you get the revelation, you know what? I got to take an evaluation of what I'm intending on doing. If I'm intending on spending a certain amount of money, let me evaluate where that's coming from. Let me evaluate what else is going on within my PRF profile, as we like to call it, your financial realm, with other bills that you have going on. You see what I'm saying? You got a child in college. Child has to come home. They don't have a car. Okay.
Yeah.
They don't have a job. Are you going to foot that bill? Okay. I'm not telling you don't do it. But what I'm saying is, doggone it, right now I need you to, and God needs you to, for his sake, for his glory, God needs you to be wise and be able to say, you know what? I can't just go throw this on the credit card.
Yes.
I can't just go ahead and throw it on the credit card and then act like I'm going to be able to pay it off. No. Because you know what, Mama? Here's what I know. Now, again, we all make decisions. It may be cool, and it may be expedient to get a plane from Atlanta, back to Philly from college. But if it's a matter of $350 more, and you sit and you evaluate, you know what? They off from school for a whole week and some change. Instead of them having a 5-hour trip, it may need to take 12 hours. Get your butt on a train.
Yes.
And I see you at the Amtrak at Penn Station. But again, what's your priorities? If your priorities are, oh, it's my child, they got to get on. Okay. But I ask you to go through the same thing. Whatever you're going to spend, go through the drill that I just walked you through. And then at the end, whatever you decide, at the end of it, here's what I want you to ask yourself the question. If you decide, I know I got this money coming in, but I got this bills outstanding. I got this collections on. Oh, my goodness. Let me hit here. Thank you, God. So as you evaluate your holiday spending, thank you to the Holy Spirit, as you evaluate your holiday spending priorities, I want you to think about your priorities in light of your debt. I got to write that one down, Mama.
Yes.
Think about your priorities in light of your debt. Think about your priorities in light of your debt. Now, think about Genesis 41, right? See, you go when you spend right now. What you may or may not have, I don't know. You evaluate it, you know. You know what's there, right? Regardless of what you drive, where you live, what your position or your title is, you know what's there. So you evaluate that. And as you evaluate that, I want you to think about where you're going to be in January. Remember, let's think about seasons and how God operates. So do you want to utilize the way that you spend and how you spend? Do you want to take that incident, that time of spending, do you want to take that and do you want that to be something that you got to hold on to and deal with come January? See, I'm not talking about put something on credit, knowing it's interest-free for 6 months. And if you do that, then I understand if you have a plan on paying it off within 6 months.
Right.
But if you don't have a plan on paying it off in 6 months, you just say you're going to do it. But if you can't say where the money is coming from, where the source is coming from, then that's not wisdom.
Yes.
Let me tell you what's not going to happen. People are not going to lend you any money without knowing about your sources of income.
Yes, that's right.
So the same way people operate with how they lend to you, why don't you use that same logic with how you spend? They need to know where the source is coming from. You should know where the source of your money is coming from to be able to do that thing which you want to spend your money on. I'm not talking about putting stuff on credit. I'm just talking about spending, however it looks, whether you spend it on using credit or whether you spend it with cash money. Bishop Zimmerman, you so crazy, my sister. She said, you done messed some folks up. I tell them, look, they take that up with the Lord. But that's so serious. I'm trying not to go too deep in tonight because I'm already tired and there's another show I got to be on at 10 o'clock tonight. A brother out of California has asked me to be on his show, and I'll hit that for those who are going to be with us in the next 15 minutes. We have to evaluate. You can't get to a certain place just by happenstance. Just doesn't come just because you just happen to be there.
Yes.
Or because you say you're going to be there. I declare and decree by the Spirit of the living God. Okay, what's your tail going to do? As you declare and decree, there's something else after that. let me touch on something that deals with wealth. Let's deal with wealth for a minute.
Yes.
So for those of you who may be listening to the PRF table for the first time, I'm a black man. I'm black. Not African American. I'm black. I'm black and I'm from Philly. All right. And so one of the things that's important to me is the history, black history, that I do know, right? You may call it African-American history, but I'm looking at where it's black folk because they weren't considered Americans back during the times that I talk about. And back in the 1900s, some of you may have heard of Black Wall Street.
Yes.
And during the time of Black Wall Street, right, in early 1900s, or actually the evolution, it was like the mid-1800s to the early 1900s, right? But the population in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Mama, was like 1,400 people. And out of 1,400 people, black people, our ancestors, or at least mine, they made up like 5% of the population. And the jobs that they had were like housewives, day laborers, servants. There wasn't a lot of black lawyers. May have been just one. May have had like one blacksmith, one preacher. You know, wasn't a church on every corner. And so what they wind up doing was taking a lot of things into their own hands, taking a lot of their own destiny, right? And the town started to increase in numbers. So as the town went from like 1,400 to over 18,000, well, you know, natural growth progression, right? So now we're like, they were like 10% of the population. So then a couple of other type of businesses started to emerge. And to make a very long story short, what we find was that there was a lot of businesses that were created. And there became a time where prosperity in Tulsa, particularly North Tulsa, right? Just Greenwood Ave, right? It was such that black people were able to stay within their community, and the dollars that was flowing within their community was not like dollars are flowing through the black community today. Today, black dollars flow through the black community and are gone within a couple of hours compared to, and I wish Saeed was on right now, compared to a lot of other nationalities and races, that the dollars within their individual communities stay forever. And so I want y'all to just think about that, because as you're going into this holiday season, and you start thinking about spending, I want you to understand that by 1921, the population grew to almost like, again, I said from like 1900, about 21 years. Now it's like almost 100,000 people there in Tulsa. And now black people are like 11,000. Well, listen, when I talked about 10% early on or 5% of 1900, that didn't raise an eyebrow. But now we're talking about 11,000 of our people. And guess what they have now? Now, at this time, they got a library. They got two black public schools. About three-quarters of the children who were of school age are now in school. Literacy was real low during that time. They got 13 churches. I mean, it's 11,000 folk. I get it. Right? Yeah. They had a black hospital, a couple of fraternal lodges. They had – our students were studying things like economics, civics, bookkeeping, things that are going to help them in the long run. they had so many educators now. They had gas stations now. They had builders and contractors, yes, because as more money is being made, they're able to build more things. And you got to know that the white population was not trying to build nothing in North Tulsa.
Yes.
That's going to help the prosperity of the blacks at that time. That's kind of one of the main reasons why they burnt all the stuff down. But the reason that I bring up that, not to go through a whole history lesson of Black Wall Street, is to say this. You got to know that they were spending money.
Yes.
During those 21 years, a little over 21 years. You have to know they were spending money. But the question becomes, what were they spending money on? See, I don't have a problem with the same situation I spoke of earlier. Let's say somebody did the same thing back then. You know, I'm spending my, you know, $500. You were kind of rich if you had $500 back in 1900, right? But let's say the equivalent of $500 back then. I'm going to spend this. I'm going to spend this on that and this. I would ask the same thing. But here's the difference. The dollars, Mama,
were
staying within the black community.
Right.
So you have to understand, what were they doing? They weren't saying, we're going to spend all our money outside of our community. They didn't have a problem with the spending wasn't an issue because the money was being spent in the community, which helped increase and bring wealth and prosperity to the community. Maybe a whole nother show if we get there. So as you evaluate your holiday spending, I want you to evaluate and I want you to ask yourself the question, who's going to be the benefit? Who's going to be the recipient? Who's going to be the beneficiary of how you spend during the holidays? Please, somebody write that down and post it. Who is going to be the beneficiary of how and where you spend during a holiday? Who is going to be the beneficiary of how or where you spend during the holidays?
Wow. Yeah.
I know it's kind of deep. And I was able to give you an example from my context, because my context is this is not the same way it is in the white community or the Jewish community or the Indian community or the Asian community. Mm-mm. That's not. So again, this is not a black show today. I'm black, y'all. So I speak from my context sometimes.
Yes.
From my black context sometimes, because some black people need to hear this, because black people are the largest consumers in this doggone country, spending trillions of dollars on stuff. But the number one ethnic racial group, they don't have jack to show for it. See the difference in what they were doing in Black Wall Street? They had something to show for it.
Yes.
So maybe that's another question to evaluate, my brothers and my sisters. When you spend on what you spend, what will you have to show for it? Remember about a couple years ago, Mama, and I did it 2 years in a row. I'm going to say this, maybe you'll remember. I did it 2 years in a row when we were dealing with this, and I said, let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask it now, so now it's going to be three. I don't know if I did it last year, but I know I've done it for 2 years before today. I want somebody, and let me see. I'm going to make this a challenge, Mama, in the last couple of minutes of the show.
Okay.
I want somebody to go onto our Facebook page under tonight's show. So if you go on PRF Institute on Facebook right now, you'll see holiday spending priorities. That is the top post that's posted on our web, on our Facebook page. So for the first 10 people, now listen, I'm talking about right now. Right now, before we end the show in the next 5 minutes. The first, matter of fact, everybody, Bishop Zimmerman, you said launch into the deep. I'm going to launch into the deep right now. For every person that can tell us right now within the next 5 minutes of this show what you received last year for Christmas. I ain't talking about that one big thing. I ain't talking about the car with the bow on it. You know, folk like to think about the big stuff, right? That number one thing. I want you to tell me about as many things as you possibly can, at least two or three, that you received last year for Christmas. Now, not only that, I want you to also tell me about what you gave to other folks. As much stuff as you can remember about what you gave and spent your money on last year during the holiday season. Go. And for doing that, for everybody that does that, I will give them Nikki's book, Nicole Thompson, How to Lay Me Down to Rest. I'll give it. So however many people can go on our Facebook page, put into the comments the things that you received last year for Christmas and also what you gave last year for Christmas. Now, most people did not just receive one gift and did not give one gift. So don't cheat me now. I'm talking about, you know, you spent some of y'all know y'all spent a lot of money last year on Christmas gifts. You know it. I'm not going to wait for you. When we see it, I'll show you how to get the book after that. So as long as you put it in there, we'll reach out to you. I'll have somebody reach out to you so we can get your address and send you the book. We have to evaluate our giving. We have to evaluate our spending. And I wanted to go somewhere. I thought I was going to go somewhere tonight, which it may just have to be for next week, which is going to be good. Because we're going to talk about next week, Mama. We're going to talk about spending versus lending.
Okay.
Spending versus lending. Again, this falls under holiday spending priorities. But that's what we're going to be talking about next week on this PRF table. Spending versus lending. So let me just give you all a couple of things before we shut down for the night. The first thing is, if you are anywhere in the Fort Benning, Georgia, Columbus, Georgia, Phoenix City, Alabama area, Tri-City area, there will be a book signing from December the 1st through December the 3rd, Friday, December the 1st through Sunday, December the 3rd. Yours truly will be doing a book signing for Don't Leave Me Like This, the PRF Institute. We will be not just only selling this book, but we also will be selling Nicole Thompson's book, How to Lay Me Down to Rest. The times are going to be during the times that the post exchange or the PX will be open. So they open up at 9, and so from 9 to 7 on Friday and 9 to 7 on Saturday, and then also on Sunday, they open up a little bit later and close a little early, so around 10 to 6 on Sunday. The times will be out there. I may just go ahead and have somebody put an event up on our Facebook page, but you'll also can go to our calendar on our website, prfministry.org, and it's already posted there. Everything we do, we put on our calendar. So we would love to meet you and greet you, just to be able to talk to you. That's one thing. The other thing is, don't forget next Friday, I want to put it out there now, next Friday on Your Health is Your Wealth, Kimberly Silas is the host of that show, dealing with a healthy consciousness and how it applies to your wealth. She hopefully will have a return guest. Last week she had Pastor Vanessa Bowler out of End Time Ministries, and one of the things that they discussed, and the Spirit led this, is to have a walk, and Kimberly is looking at doing a health walk in January in Stone Mountain, Georgia. I'm just glad and very appreciative for how the Spirit is moving through the members, and I say members meaning those who are on the team of PRF, in the various areas and gifts that God has gifted them in. we all support each other. And so the team that God has assembled is just, it's just awesome, Mama. I'm very grateful.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the 17th of November when she has Pastor Vanessa Bowler again. The show they had last week was phenomenal. And I just, you know, I'm not going to say it was phenomenal if it wasn't phenomenal, right? You know me better than that. But it was phenomenal because the testimony that Pastor Vanessa had was truly, truly awesome. And it was lining up with some of the struggles and challenges that actually Kimberly had. And so I just encourage everybody who did not catch that show, just go on our Facebook page. You know, you can catch everything through the Facebook page or through the website. You can easily go to the calendar on the website. You can click a link. You can listen to it there or go on our Facebook page. Bishop Zimmerman, we're going to go ahead and make sure she responded. We're going to make sure that we make sure we get that book out to her because she did respond before we got off the air today. Mama, what's your thoughts? I want to go ahead and get some of your thoughts before we go ahead and shut it down. It's 1 minute after nine.
I was just thinking, well, I was really thinking about Christmas, last Christmas, what I received. last Christmas, I didn't receive any gifts, and I didn't give any gifts.
And I'm going to imagine that you're not giving any gifts had to do with finances. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. We had, emergency with our car, you know, and of course my husband was sick, and so that was additional medication. So, you know, just didn't have it.
And again, the thing of wisdom is, you could have gone and placed yourself in debt. You could have gone to the mall where somebody is beautiful young ladies most of the time. You don't see no, I mean, trust me, you know, fairly nice looking, you know, women that have clipboards inside of different department stores that are waiting to sign you up for a credit card. So you, and you know, they'll do it for women or men, you know,
yeah.
Whoever comes in there, they're trying to get them. And those are some of the ways that the world is trying to suck people in. They don't care that you're Christian or not. They're not looking at that you don't have a stamp of Christian on your forehead. They're just trying to get people in and trying to get numbers. And so
yes,
you could have fallen into that as you went and shopped, or you could have looked at certain things that have come inside of the mail and said,
yes,
you know what, let me go ahead and apply for that. And then what you would have been doing was no longer evaluating your spending. You would have been operating by your impulses.
Yes, yes, that's right.
And we can, let's spiritualize that. Following your flesh. I got to get something for my granddaughters. I got to get something for my daughter.
Yeah.
I got to get, let me tell y'all something. I'm trying to get off the air. You ain't got to do nothing. Because if a Christmas gift is not given and somebody believes that you don't love them because you didn't get them a Christmas gift, the first thing I'm going to say is, if I didn't do nothing for you all year, then I think, yeah, you got somewhat of a right. Doggone, I ain't got nothing from you all year. You ain't done nothing for me. You ain't gave me nothing physically, tangibly, nothing, just nothing at all. I can see saying, doggone, at least could have got some type of Christmas gift. But when folk are being blessed throughout the year,
yes,
or at different other times, come on now. That ain't nothing but the devil trying to put guilt on somebody.
Yes.
And nobody has time for that.
Yes. And, you
so
know,
listen.
I do, I want to say that I, you know, since my credit score went up, I do
mm-hmm.
have, I can get things on credit now. But I
mm-hmm.
chose not to do that.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
And it's hard, but, you know, you have, as you say, we have to think about, well, really, I have to concentrate on my bills.
Right. And it goes back to that question. Think about your priorities in light of your debt. See, this is why I love PRF so much, Mama. One of the reasons why I love it.
Yes.
Because it allows, especially the PRF table, because it allows us to have these conversations and throw out these questions, not where folks are, you know, still on a spiritual high because the music has been playing. Right. Or because of other church act antics or church things that go on in a church or a worship service where,
yeah,
you know, whatever is going on, emotions or whatever the case may be, it's no, let's just sit down and let's just have the conversation. Because what happens is when you have conversation in environments like this where it's safe, then it puts you into a place where now you're able to go from conversations to dialogue. And
yeah,
people that hear, people that are able to have respectable, unadulterated, open, honest dialogue, that's how transformation starts to occur. Transformation doesn't occur because I tell you stop spending your money on foolishness. Let me tell you something. Let's look at the numbers of how much money black folk done spent over the last couple of years and how many folks have said, don't do this, don't do that. And then that just kind of solidifies that there's a bunch of people that it just did not work for, bottom line.
Yeah.
So there has to be more creative. And, again, I was reading something earlier, and I said, man, I get so tired of folks with these doggone gimmicks. Gimmicks ain't going to work. Gimmicks will mess folk up, but it ain't going to help transform them. Because as soon as they find out that that gimmick wasn't real, then they don't believe in the process anymore. So we just give it straight like we give it so that folks can get what they need. I'm telling you, this, it is so critical. And when we deal with spending versus lending next week, can I give y'all a preview? Let me see. I don't have any more now.
Sure.
I just want to go there so much.
Sure, you may.
If there was a time where us being the lender and not the borrower, it should be during this holiday signs, this Dunlapism right now. Because, see, if I'm in a position to lend, then a lot of the way that people spend and get caught up in their spending should not happen. But here's the thing about being the lender and not the borrower. If you don't have anything, you can't lend anything.
Right.
So the only way that you can be a lender is if you have something to lend. But if you don't have anything to lend, it's going to be easy for you to spend by borrowing in order to spend. And then the question becomes, then, if you are borrowing in order to spend, who are you borrowing from in order to spend? So with that, Mama, God bless you. We will talk to you soon. All of y'all who are listening, we thank you for being with us. And let me just tell you, before I go, at 10 o'clock Eastern time, I have the pleasure of being on a show with, it's called The Encouragement Show, with Dr. Dwayne Shigg. He is an author. He's written several books, and he also, matter of fact, he's written one book that was published, I believe, in May. He's written seven books. He's an author. He's a workshop facilitator. He is a motivational speaker, and he has asked me and the lovely Ms. Sean Poole to be on his show tonight. Now, again, it's going to be 7 o'clock in California.
Okay.
So that means it's going to be 10 o'clock here. And so we're going to go ahead and shut down. But what we're going to be just doing tonight, according to what he has put out to us, is to really just have this a catapulting conversation with myself and with Mrs. Sean Poole. I know he wants me to talk about the book, Don't Leave Me Like This, so we'll do that. But I will also I cannot not talk about PRF and what PRF is doing. And so just come in and hear whatever God has me to say at 10 o'clock. If you go on to my Facebook page, Rev. Dr. Nate Dunlap Jr., you'll see that. And I will also try to make sure that it gets on the Facebook page for PRF, PRF Institute. So with that, Mama, God bless you. We love you. We want to say happy Veterans Day to everybody. We want to say happy Veterans Day to everybody, every man and woman who has served in the United States military, the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, the Marines, and the U.S. Coast Guard, who sometimes gets left out. Thank you for their service. Thank you for your service. And what I'm going to ask everybody to do is to please thank somebody who you see or know is a veteran. Tomorrow is not Memorial Day. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. So this is about talking to folks who are here. Let them know that you appreciate whatever their act of service was in the defense of our country, United States of America. And the other thing that I'm going to do, which I love about waiting until the end of the shows a lot of time, we're going to put a special up tomorrow. I may put it up today, but for every veteran, we're going to have a discount on Don't Leave Me Like This, and also on the combo package that we have. So anybody who is a veteran, and again, just got to be honest. So we'll have a code out there, and we'll do this for about 100 books for anybody who is a veteran, and we'll do it through this weekend only. So I'm going to encourage you, once you see it go up on the Facebook page, to share it, so that you can make sure that veterans get this. And don't leave it up to the veterans. You know, there's plenty of places that are going to do stuff like feed them tomorrow, right? Feed us, right? Because I'm one of those as well. They're going to feed us. You go to certain restaurants, they give us free meals. You go to some other ones, they're going to give us discounts. Well, that's food for their physical bodies, for our physical bodies. But what about for our spiritual and mental bodies? And you know what the book is about, those of y'all who know what the book is about. So let's do something to help them, because if everything was good for us as veterans, there would not be a large population of homeless veterans. So there's a lot of veterans that need their houses in order, but there are some situations that have precluded them. And I want to say this also to all those who are listening. Please send in the testimonies. Please send in the testimonies so others can see. The book has been written. God has directed that it was written. It is out there. My life is not about selling the books. So that means that those of you who get the revelation through the Spirit of God, your task, your assignment in this season is to make sure that other folks hear about it. And then, just like we got today, I was so blessed. I won't call the individual by name because I have not asked this person for permission. But one of the highlights of my day today, when I tell you the highlights, was I believe it was yesterday. I don't know. It may not have been. My days are running into it. But somebody sent me a message and said, just enrolled in life insurance. And then they said, I want you to know I heard you loud and clear. I thank God for using you. And then this was like today, earlier today. And then this afternoon, they sent a message saying, getting my affairs in order. And then it said, opening a second savings account that I can't touch. Then he said, one step at a time. Thank you again. And we give all glory and honor to God, right? Because God is the one who sent the revelation knowledge. And so we thank God for my sister who sent that to us. Again, this thing is not about me, who sent that to us, especially with this thing about one step at a time. Because on Monday I preached at a revival, Mama, and the message was about one faith step at a time. One faith step at a time.
Glory to God.
One faith
Yes.
step at a time. So God is moving. He is speaking. I just encourage everybody just to be a part of the remnant. And that's it. And so we'll talk to you next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to have a very good discussion on spending versus lending. And I hope that you're with us. I hope you will join us. Please share what we're doing here at the PRF Teaching Ministry. God is doing some wonderful things to all of us on the team that are just engaged in trying to help God's people be the type of light that is really, really needed in a dark place. There's so much crap and foolishness going on. And if you do not get yourself prepared right now, there's going to be no reason for you to cry later asking God to come and save you when you can do what you need to do to get yourself prepared, because you're not going to be able to stop what's coming. But it's a whole different situation when you have certain things in order.
Yes, it is.
Because you've taken the steps right now. So, again, God bless you. We love you. We will talk to you next Thursday on the PRF table. Then reach out to us. Go on our Facebook page, website. All our social media is there. Reach out to us if you need us to contact you to help you in any way, shape, or form. There's plenty of people on the team that can do it with various gifts. And if you just need us to be praying about your situation financially particularly, then you can send an email to prayer. So it's the email address prayer@prfministry.org. And I guarantee you 100% that within 24 hours, maybe less, that somebody will not just be praying for you, but contacting you and asking you if they need you, if you need them to pray with you. All right, Mama. God bless you.
Amen.
We love you. Enjoy your weekend.
Love you,
we
too.
Will have a wonderful, wonderful weekend in the Lord. And again, come join us at 10 o'clock as I go on the air with Dr. Shig on the Encouragement Show. God bless y'all.
Thank you.